Morning. If everybody would grab your Bible, we're going to turn to James 3, verses 1 through 12. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can grab a Bible off the hymnal shelf in front of you, or if you have your phone or iPad with you, you can open up your Bible app. We are working our way through James. For those of you who have not been with us the last few weeks, James is a fantastic, interesting, fun, exciting book. It is filled with flowers and joy and peace. And we're going to be talking about James 3, which is more flowers. So when you get to James 3, I need everyone to say it loudly, amen. Amen. Fantastic. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers, because we know that teachers will be judged more strictly. We all make mistakes often, but those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. Like a bridled horse, they can control themselves entirely. When we bridle horses and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They are so large that strong winds are needed to drive them. But pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts wildly. Think about this. A small flame can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a small flame of fire. A world of evil at work in us. It contaminates our entire lives. Because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. People can tame, and already have tamed, every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish. No one can tame the tongue, though. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we both bless the Lord and Father and curse human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it just shouldn't be this way. Both fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring, do they? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. And fresh water doesn't flow from a saltwater spring. The word of God for the people of God. Like I said, flowers and roses and daisies. Perfectly happy, easy passage, right? Reading this, and trying to come up with a sermon title, I came up with Loose Lips Sink Ships. I think it's fantastic. I was leaning towards, a good old-fashioned tongue lashing. That's what I was leaning towards. But I think the Loose Lips Sink Ships kind of fits where we're going today. Does anybody know where that saying came from? World War II, amen. They were on posters. And actually, several different countries had different versions of this saying. Even Germany had one that was similar to the loose lips sink ships. It was publicized because they didn't want mamas or wives or girlfriends talking about the letters that their husbands or sons or boyfriends were sending home in fear that the enemy might get information that would be deadly. James is the brother of Jesus. He was slow to take hold of the message at the beginning, but later on, after he sees who Jesus is, he takes this message, takes this understanding, and becomes one of the most direct one of the most blunt writers in the Bible. His messages are not flowers. They are not easy all the time. Sometimes they are messages that we don't want to hear, but I think James understands the importance of us hearing the messages. What I want to talk today, I want to answer two questions today. The first is, how the words that have been spoken to us have affected us and made us who we are. If you think about it, we can look back on our lives and think of experiences, think of our parents, think of places, think of jobs that have kind of helped form who we are, kind of made us into the people that we are. But it wasn't until recently when I started going through faith walking, a spiritual journey, that I really began to look back on my life and find out that a lot of what people said to me helped shape who I am. It wasn't just the experiences, but a lot of times it was the words that were spoken to me that I reacted to, that I made meaning from, that I formed core vows that still influence me today. That's the power of words. It's the power of the tongue. I think James recognizes how powerful this is. If you look back on your life and think about all of the times that you heard somebody speak negatively towards you, and you said, I will never do that again, how those few little words have influenced the rest of your life. That when you find yourself in that similar situation where those same feelings are pulling at you, how that negative thing spoken to you so many years ago still drives how you react now. And the opposite is true. If you think back and you have that positive person in your life who spoke love and grace, how that still influences you today. The power of the tongue. How can we move forward and become aware of how our tongue, how our words are impacting those around us in our lives? What is it about words? What is it about how we speak that is so dangerous? How is it so dangerous? I don't know if anybody else is like this, but there's a lot of times that I just like to run my mouth. There's a lot of times I say things before I even think about them, and I may not even mean what I'm saying. I might just be upset or hurt. I might be angry. I might even be scared. And my defense to that is to just run my mouth and attack whatever is causing that feeling. I think of the old game Battleship. Anybody ever play that? For the younger ones in here, they do have it on an iPhone. You can look up an app and play it. But you know, the two board games back to back, and you would holler out A, 10, miss. D, 12, miss. You know, eventually, you sunk my battleship. Everybody get that? There's a lot of times that when I get mad or hurt, when I get scared, that I just go on the attack. And my mouth starts running, and I am keenly aware of when I miss somebody because they're not reacting the way I want them to, but I'm also aware of when I hit somebody and I get a reaction from them. Now, y'all might not want to hear this about your preacher, but I can win a game of battleship. I can sink somebody else's ship so that I don't have to feel the way that I think that is hurting, that is scaring, that is causing this reaction in me. But it doesn't mean anything, right? They're just words. I'm just saying it so that you'll leave me alone, so that I don't have to be real, so that we don't have to have this intimate connection, so that I can just push you away and keep you at a distance, so that I can make you feel worse about yourself than you're making me feel about myself. Never thinking about how those words are hurting, those words are damaging, or those words are pushing you or somebody else away from a relationship with me or with God or with somebody else. I think James understands that. I think James understands this because he was Jesus' little brother. And every religious person in that time hated Jesus because Jesus was reinventing what it meant to love God. He wasn't reinventing it. He was just clarifying it. He was bringing it back to what it was all about. And James was this unintended victim of being Jesus' brother. And I can only imagine what he heard, what got tossed at him, what kind of anger, fear, and hurt got thrown his way just because of who he was. What would it look like if we were intentional about the words we said? What would it look like if instead of just having these loose lips, just having this non-caring, I'm going to have to make up a word here because I can't think. This unthinking, unknowledgeable sentence come out of our mouth just because we're throwing it out there to push people away. What would it look like if we were intentional not to do that? What would it look like if we became intentional about trying to speak love and grace? Not trying to sink somebody else's battleship, but trying to build somebody else. Now, there's a book written called Three Simple Rules. It's based on John Wesley's rules. The first one is do no harm. Do no harm. And what it's talking about is living intentionally, not purposefully, not trying to harm anybody else around you. And we can put that into action, but that's the easy part. We can do things that are helpful or stop from doing things that might hurt somebody else. But the hard part is applying that to the way we speak to people. What would it look like if we were intentional not to speak harmful words to anybody around us? not just outside the church, but within the church walls. How would that change our church if we spoke nothing harmful to each other in any way? How quiet would it get? The second rule is to do good. This might be harder than the first, because a lot of times it's easy to shut your mouth, right? Sometimes we're good enough to catch when we're about to say something harmful, and we can stop from saying it. But the second rule is to do good. And that's not just feeding the hungry, giving to the poor, but speaking good into the lives of those around us. So not just shutting your mouth and not saying anything harmful, but then in that moment, finding something good to say about somebody. Don't you love it in James where he gets down at the end and you can hear how frustrated he is, and he says, "We bless God and curse each other with the same mouth. We bless God, but curse each other who are made to be like God with the same mouth." This can't be. It just shouldn't be. So if we're able to shut our mouth when it comes to the cursing each other, to the speaking harm to each other, that's a really good step. But what would it look like to be able to stop ourselves from harming each other and to speak good into each other? How would that change our lives? How would that change our conversations? How would that change the way we show up with each other? To be able to not be always happy with somebody, but to always speak good into somebody else's life. How would that change your arguments with your spouse? How would that change the way you talk to your children? How would that change the family of God in here? I think James understands the power of words, and he knows without a doubt how important it is for us to try to control the words we come out of our mouth. He's not saying it's easy. He says no one can tame the tongue. The tongue is a fire from the flames of hell. That's strong words. But it speaks to the intensity and the power that words hold over each of us. How many of you have a tendency to speak negative to yourself? How many of you have a tendency to speak harm to yourself? What if you could start there? To just stop speaking harm to yourself. Stop speaking what the world is whispering into your ear, but speak good and speak love and speak grace that God is pouring out all over you. And then if we started there to move that and to take that into the people around us, to be a tongue that is bridled, to be a voice that blesses God and blesses each other. That's the challenge. That's hard work. That's what we're called in James to live out. Pick one person. Pick one person in your life this week. And just try to not speak harm, but to only speak good. See how God blesses that. See how that relationship will grow. Let God into your words. Speak love, speak grace, speak acceptance, speak authenticity with your words. Don't speak out of fear, out of pain, out of anger. That's where we're going to stop this week. Before I finish, though, because I'm going to get asked after the service, just like I did the first time, the third rule is to always stay in love with God. Do no harm, do good, always stay in love with God. But the challenge this week is to speak love, speak grace. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we are so blessed. Lord, you have given us life. Lord, we get to share our lives with those around us. But Lord, with this life comes emotions, comes vows, comes these thoughts that we don't know how to handle. And so, Lord, so often we find ourselves speaking from those places, speaking out of fear, speaking out of anger, speaking out of pain, not caring, not knowing, not seeing what the impact of those words are. Lord, the tongue is hard to tame, but you call us not to speak from those dark places, but to speak from a place of love and grace, to speak mercy, to speak acceptance, to speak life. Lord, we pray that you would just pour out your Spirit into each of us, that as we go through this week, Lord, before we speak, we will remember not to speak harm. That you would give us the strength to bite down on the tongue before we speak hurt into somebody else's life. And Lord, that you would give us the wisdom that when we are ready to speak, we can speak good, perfect love, your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn 156, I Love to Tell the Story. We'll sing the first.